Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to have you with us this morning. We're excited to have the Encounter Revival Ministries team here with us this morning. You guys have been an answer in your prayer. We've been praying for you the last few weeks, and really since we found out about your ministry, and now Joel is a part of what you're doing. So we're so excited to have you guys here. They're going to be leading our worship service, and so it's going to be a little different. We're going to open with a song and then turn it over to them. And just from what I've heard, you're going to be really blessed by their opportunity to share with us. And so at the conclusion of the service, I'll come back up and we'll dismiss you all. If you're on the live stream, the sound might be a little different this morning, but we're able to capture everything by setting things up this way. So don't fuss around your TV too much. It's just the way it is this time. But like I said, we're really excited to have everyone with us. And we have a lot of guests with us, family members that have come in to participate in worship this morning. So would you pray with me? And we'll just ask God to bless our time today. Father, we thank you for who you are and for the great love that you have for us. It is our honor to gather here in the name of Jesus, to know that our Lord and Savior counted the cost and went to the cross for our sins. We lift you up, Jesus, because we know without you, we are nothing. But because of you, we are forgiven. We are redeemed. And we are fit into your family for all of eternity. Our God and Father, we look forward to this time of worship as we celebrate your grace and mercy with our new friends, our new brothers and sisters. We just pray that you would bless them, may your Spirit work in their hearts as they have prepared to lead us in worship. Father, we pray that as we ready our hearts to receive your word, Father, that you would receive all the honor and glory. Work in a powerful way. God, may your Spirit unite us and bind us together. May you receive the glory. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Singers on the front two rows. And I want to really hear you sing. I'm sure you will. You're going to love this hymn that we're going to open up with. But I just wanted to comment that I'm very familiar with the ministry up there at Camp Lusanne. As a young believer, I used to take teenagers there for a youth retreat in the summer. I'd walk around with the clipboard. Everybody would have to follow the schedule, and they stayed in those little cabins that are there. And we had some great times there. And Reverend Bill Hagen Sr., I guess he was the founder of Mount Lusanne, and he's with the Lord now. And his son, Pastor Bill Hagen, pastors a church there. He's a good friend of ours. And he officiated at my brother Larry's homegoing here in our church back in 2019. If you want to keep him in prayer, he's in the hospital. He doesn't have COVID, but he is in the hospital, and he's on prayers and encouragement. So we're going to begin this morning with All Creatures of Our God and King. I think this hymn is probably 500 years old, but it's a wonderful hymn. I love the hymns. I love the new music, and we do a blend of music here at Lord Daniel. And so we're going to begin singing the four verses of All Creatures of Our God and King.
Thank you.
share with you just briefly this morning, and we appreciate it. Although it isn't far from home, I must confess I've never been to the city of Andover. We appreciate all your prayers and your concern for the ministry. We look forward to ministering to you today. Trust us all to be an encouragement to you. But I want you to find out who they are. First of all, they all have names. So I want you to find out who they are and where they're from.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Daniel Jerome McCrody, and I am from Holmesdale, Pennsylvania.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Riley Carr, and I'm from High Spire, Pennsylvania.
Hello, everyone. My name is Annika Dessert, and I'm from Upper Sandusky, Ohio.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to see you all here. My name is Natalie Ferris, and I'm from Logansport, Indiana.
Hello, everyone. I'm Joelle Weidman, and I'm from Lebanon, Pennsylvania, and this is my church home.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Sarah Barter, and I'm from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Alex Graff, and I live in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Simeon Cooper, and I'm from Middletown, PA.
Hey, guys. My name is Lauren Nichols, and I'm from the Rayford.
It's great to see you all this morning. My name is Olivia Streetman, and I'm from McComb, Michigan.
Hello, everyone. My name is Leah Burns, and I'm from Holmesdale, Pennsylvania.
Hello there, everyone. My name is Grace Sweetman, and I'm from Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania.
And a good morning to you all. My name is Faye Cox, and I'm from Hastings, Michigan.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Katarina Graff, and I'm from Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania.
Good morning, guys. My name is Joshua Blankenship, and I'm from the Bay Ohio.
Good morning, everybody. My name is John Woods, and I'm from York Haven, Pennsylvania.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Noah Weedman, and I am from Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Joe Cuneo, and I am from Middletown, Pennsylvania. In the back, we have Nathan Schultz from Bucyrus, Ohio.
Church of Christ, rejoice.
camp. We're at Mountain San Bob camp where they do their classes in the morning, and they have books to read, and their projects to do, and their favorite thing is to give speeches. Am I right? Almost. That's not the question. But and then the afternoon they rehearsed. Somebody said the other day, how many songs do they know? Well, they probably do about 25. You do 25?
Sure.
We'll find out. No, we won't say that long. They sing. We've been singing a lot. The concert, we've been able to do things over the internet that we've never been able to do before. They'll have to do a sign language song in just a few minutes. You'll see some sign language. They recorded four or five of those the other day, and we sent those to Africa. We have ministry in Africa there. We don't have any Americans there, but we have contact with them, so we support them. So they're learning the same songs as the team does here. And so it's a great joy to be able to share with you. But I want you to hear a little bit about what's going on in their life. So some of them are going to share this morning. What's up with Joe?
Good morning, everyone. Over these past 3 months, I've really been learning the value of a daily quiet time. I know that if I miss it for a few days or if I'm just too busy, if I don't do it the next day or just that day, I don't feel the same. I feel just off, and I've realized that it's because I'm not spending daily time in the Word, and that is very important.
I've been learning a lot about surrender and how I am enough only through Jesus. He gives me the strength to get through every day and through every trial.
John 1:4 says, "In him was light, and that light was the light of all mankind." One thing I've been recently reminded of is that Jesus is the light, and it is so important to follow him on a daily basis.
Something that I've been reminded of recently is the importance of prayer and the privilege that I have to be able to talk to God. Too often, whenever I pray, it's usually a list of requests or demands that I want God to fulfill, but I've realized that prayer is so much more than that, and prayer is an opportunity that I get to talk to my Heavenly Father, and I've realized recently what a great privilege that is.
Well, let's just sit down. Let me just say just a little bit about the ministry. There's a resource table out there. You're welcome to pick up anything you want. You're welcome to leave it there, too. Either way, whatever you feel comfortable doing. But there's some materials out there. I would say this on the team. All right, my introduce my wife. This is my wife, Jean. My name's Artie, in case I haven't met you yet. Glad to be able to be with you and be able to share. God has really opened up a lot of doors for us, even with the restrictions that we have. And so we're grateful for that. But you're welcome to pick up any material on the table out there that would be of help to you. There are some resources out there that are just our personal help. It's not information. I mean, it's not public. We're not publicizing anything, just information for you that could be a help to you. So we want to take that along. We're grateful for the way that God's blessed the ministry. God has opened up many doors. This is about 30 years now for Encounter, and we're grateful for the opportunity to come to Mount San Bible Camp. We're grateful to be connected with. We're connected primarily in Africa, India, and Myanmar. We're connected in different ways there. In India, you can pray for the ministry in India today. They're having great struggles today. The Christians have great struggles in India today as the government is trying to shut down everything that relates to Christianity. They also have the same problems that we do here as far as the virus is concerned, but they're also trying to shut down everything related to Christianity. So for about 20 or so years, we've been involved in India there, and they have about 200 orphans at this point. We've had as high as 2,500 orphans at orphanage there, but right now, because of everything, they're shut down there a little bit. I pray for the ministry in Myanmar. They're going through the same problems and difficulties. And pray for Africa. In Africa, we have a team just like this. There's 18 of them on a team, and they're out. They're ahead of us on schedule, so they've been already out in ministry. So you pray for the ministry over there. What a great joy it is to be able to share in ministry in other countries and be able to see them touch people's lives and lives are changed. In Africa, for instance, they have camp in a couple of weeks. They have camp in December. Not really sure why. But it's always, I asked them the other day when we were on Zoom, I said, how's the weather? And they said, it's hot. And that was the day, it was cold here. So, a little bit different there, but they have camp, and what a great opportunity to invest in young people around the world. And so there are other information back there you're watching today. That, or you can go online and go into Encounter and sort of notwithstanding, you can see our website and you can see the various areas that we're involved in. One of the things that the team works hard on is in the area of drama. Now, drama is to teach us a Bible truth or a number of Bible truths that we might miss it any other way. So this morning we've asked them to share a little bit about, you know, when people go to church, when they walk in the door, people say, "How are you doing?" And they always say, I'm fine. So we're going to come to the finest church in America.
Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the doors and look at all the fine people.
Good morning, Edith. How are you today?
I'm fine, and you?
Fine. How about you, Lillian?
Oh, I'm doing fine, thank you. Charles, it's good to see you in church this morning. How are you doing?
Fine, really fine.
Oh, that's fine. How's Karen?
I'm fine, too.
Oh, I didn't notice you there. How are you feeling?
Fine, thank you.
Why, Rebecca, don't you look lovely this morning? How is life treating you?
Fine, thank you. And you?
Oh, fine. Thank you for asking, though.
Alyssa, I haven't seen you in ages. Heard you were having some trouble. How are you?
Thank you for asking. I actually am really...
She looks fine.
She acts fine.
Fine.
Isn't this a fine Sunday?
As you can see, I go to the finest church in America, where everything is fine. Well, everything is not fine, but the congregation is a lot happier if they believe everything is fine. You see, if you believe everyone around you is fine, you won't have to go out of your way to help or encourage anyone. I was always taught that the church was your family. When you hurt, everyone hurt with you. When you needed support, your brothers and sisters in Christ would be there to lift you up. It didn't take very long for me to realize that this wasn't always true.
Have you all heard about Alyssa? I heard she's going through a really hard time. Bless her heart. Do you think we should visit her?
I think she would rather be left alone right now.
You're right. She does live a long way from the church.
You're not kidding. It'd be pretty inconvenient to drive all the way out there.
Do you suppose one of us should visit her? See if she's doing okay? She'll be fine.
But I wasn't fine. I did get through that trial, but it was sadly with no help from my church family. My problems seemed insignificant compared to the ones I knew other church members were having. There were many in our congregation who were struggling with sin, who needed the unconditional love that could encourage them back to Jesus. They seldom received that love.
Who would have ever thought a sinner in this church?
The church is hardly a place for sinners.
We better leave them alone until they get their life straightened out.
But what if I run into them at the supermarket? Why should I be worried? They're the sinner, not me.
Let's hope someone can help. Maybe there's a good Christian book on that particular problem.
Yeah.
Do you suppose one of us should go with them? Maybe we could call them or drop a note. Show them some unconditional love.
They'll be fine.
But they weren't fine. What it did do was encourage them to run right back into the open arms of the world. The world cared for them much more like the church than the church itself. Encouraging others takes unconditional love, acceptance, and yes, sometimes to be inconvenienced.
Look, if I knew someone to encourage, I would. But I'm not going to go and stick my nose into other people's business. I work 40 hours a week. Why should I be expected to spread sunshine around the congregation? I mean, no one ever encourages me.
I mean, I would rather be left alone. Doesn't everyone want to be left alone?
Listen, half the people's problems are brought on by themselves. If they wouldn't do some of the things they do, they wouldn't be in these predicaments. Their own fault.
Yeah, the church isn't a place for support, love, hugs, and all that mushy stuff. We're here to learn about Jesus.
Yes. But wasn't Jesus an encourager? Didn't he touch others and verbally express his feelings? Maybe that's what we need?
No.
We're fine.
The church is full of hurting people. The congregation is made up of sinners. The members aren't immune to depression and emotional problems. When will we ever
no one to turn to. I feel like going to sleep and not waking up until it's all over. I don't know what I'm going to do.
My father's dying, and there's nothing I can do for him. The man who's given me everything, my whole life, and now when he needs me, I can't do anything. Why is this happening to me?
I've just filed for bankruptcy. I thought I could manage my life better than this, but I'm a failure. I'm never going to be able to face anybody now.
My daughter's run away from home. Where did I go wrong? Was I too strict? I tried to give her everything that I never had growing up. How could she be so ungrateful? How could I be so blind not to see this coming?
I have a drinking problem. Now my life's falling apart, and it just makes me want more. I just can't seem to escape this vicious cycle, no matter how hard I try.
I just found out a few weeks ago that I'm going to lose my job in 2 months. I'm barely getting by now, but they don't care about that. All they care about is themselves. How am I going to make ends meet?
So, how are you?
Fine.
Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the doors, and there are all the fine.
Well, it's easy to get wrapped up in our own problems and difficulties and get focused on that and forget about everybody else. But the one thing that I challenge my thinking often is that there's always somebody that's worse off than you are. There's always somebody that has a problem. There's always somebody that has difficulties. And what a great opportunity you and I have to invest in them. I just heard a long time ago that I think the only way you're going to outlive your life is what you invest in other people. And once you invest in other people, whether it be a thank you note or encouragement, whatever it might be, as you invest in them and share with them, what a joy that is. The team comes back to share with you one more song before we look into the word just briefly this morning. We're sharing with you a sign language song. First of all, this song is sign language. And so you can see, you'll hear it, plus you can see it. Years ago, they began to learn sign language. We have a teacher that comes from Houston, Dallas area in Texas and spends a few days with them, teaching them. Some of them don't know anything about sign language at first, but now they do as they communicate the truth of God's word for people who could not hear it otherwise. But now they can hear it as they see it in the truth of God's word. TMP.
Yeah.
They'll be back in a few moments singing one more song for us today as we're reminded of the Lord's presence and power. Let me invite you to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to look at just one verse there, and then we're going to turn to James chapter 3. Thank you. Now, I don't know if I'll sit down or not, but a few years ago I discovered that I'm going to have to sit down a little bit. And then I read the Bible that when Jesus sat down and thought, so I'm pretty good company. So. In Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to look at just one verse there, verse number 29. And we are going to put some of the things up here on the screen for you, I think. Oh, it turned off? Okay. Ephesians chapter 4, 29. We've got chapter 4, verse 29. We're going to come there in a moment. But have you ever thought about how little things make a great difference? Little things. It doesn't take much to make a lot of difference. For instance, suppose a young couple have been going together, and they decided, he decided he's going to ask if he could marry her. Now, she didn't have to say a lot of words, just one or two simple words. When he says, will you marry me? Yes or no? I mean, it's not much. That doesn't take a lot of words. So little things do make an incredible difference. Since the guy planned for all this, and he planned, and then he asked her, and she said, no, he's like, no, what do I do? Well, it's just little things make kind of a difference. Have you thought about how little things make a difference? On your car, for instance, you had a battery cable. The cables are only about this long. Suppose you decide today you're going to take one of those cables off. Say, I don't like this cable. It's the wrong color. So I'm going to take it off. I'm not going to do anything with this. Well, you're in trouble. You're still at home. You're trying to figure out the car doesn't run that way. The small things make an incredible difference. Yes, I do. I love you. It makes an incredible difference. Yes, I would. Yes, the battery cable, whatever it might be, makes an incredible difference. We're going to think about words today. Words. Did you realize how quickly words come and how long they stay? So we say, I wish I had never said that. Well, it's too late. It's already out. Often when we take surveys, I ask people, how long have you remembered something? And they can remember things that have been said in their childhood. Words that have been said. So words come quickly, make a powerful difference. In the Bible, there are a lot of verses on scripture. We're going to look at Proverbs in just a minute. I think we're going to look at it. There we go. We're going to think about communication that honors the Lord. We're going to think about communication that honors the Lord. So what kind of words should we speak? Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use to edifying and may minister grace unto the hearer. I think that's one of the first verses that my mother required us to learn. And I suppose as parents, you've done the same thing. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Now, I'm not sure about this. I'm not sure if anyone has the statistics on this, but I would imagine that a lot of the problems that we are dealing with in the churches are never ended before. So if you shoe fits, wear it. If your phone rings, like I said, if your phone rings, answer it. But a lot of problems in the church are from words that are spoken. Words that are spoken. The Bible tells us in Proverbs that you have the power to give life or death in a word. When we think about communication today that really pleases God, look at James chapter 3, connecting with this. In James chapter 3, as we begin in the first verse, it says, and my brother, be not many masters, knowing that you should receive the greater commendation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able to bridle the whole body. Now, no matter how big the horse is, if you put a bridle on that horse, you can control that horse. When I was 3 years old, I was in the third grade. I got rheumatic fever. Now, that's not romantic fever. I got that later. But rheumatic fever, I didn't have it in third grade. But I had been placed in bed. I could not do anything. They carried me every place I went for a number of days, a number of weeks. And finally, I was able to get out of bed, and my dad knew that I liked horses. Well, I liked ponies. But then I was only about this big. And so he brought along a pony. I still see her. Susie was her name. And he brought her in. Now, my mother didn't allow horses in the house. But my dad overrode her on this particular thing. And he brought this pony in on the porch. And then they helped me out to see Susie. Well, I fell in love with horses. I like horses now. I have a horse at Mountain Sand, but there's no place to keep it. So I'm not going to have one. But I discovered over the years that as I got bigger, the horses got bigger. And we got rid of the ponies, we got horses. And then we finally got one that nobody could ride and all that kind of stuff. But I discovered once you put a bridle in there and you put a bit in that horse's mouth, you can make it do whatever you want to do. Because it's just a little instrument. It's only about this big. It's only about that big for now. However, that horse will obey you. Years later, at one of the camps with one of the people that came and brought other animals, he came with a great big horse, a monster horse. But he put a bridle on that thing, put a bit in his mouth, and he would make it do whatever he wanted to do. That's what it's talking about. Behold, we put bits in verse number 3. We put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn them about, we turn the whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds. And now the great ships are parked. They're not going any place. But on the back of them, compared to the size of the ship, is a helm, which is very small, compared to the size of the ship. And so the Bible talks about this, and says, even so the tongue is a little member of verse number 5. And it boasts of great things. Behold, I've created matter and a little fire kindled. A lot of churches have been set on fire. Not literally, but they've been set on fire by the words that people have spoken. I read the story of a pastor who had written about his life. He's going along in ministry, and somebody at the church wanted to see him. Well, he didn't do everything that person had asked for. So they started spreading rumors. By the way, gossip, we're going to talk about gossip in just a minute, more than problems. Gossip is when I spread someone else's secrets. So if somebody starts talking to you and says, I have a secret, don't let them tell you. Or if you have a secret, don't tell anybody. I have to tell the staff. There's one way to keep a secret. Don't tell anybody. Then you keep a secret. You tell one person, you're not keeping a secret. Keeping a secret. Say one word that makes an incredible difference. As the tongue, as the helm, as the bit, so is the tongue. So the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it set on fire hell. This is verse number 7. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and things of the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. Almost everything can be tamed. In fact, a guy showed up to our camp one time, and he said, I'm going to show you this pig. I would come to the conclusion you can't tame a pig. But this pig climbed up the steps and slid down the slide. Well, I was standing there watching. I said, well, you shouldn't tame anything. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. There were blessed be God, even the Father, and there were cursed be men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth receive blessings and cursing. My brother, these things ought not so to be. So we sing praises to God, and then we curse another person. Or we say things that are unkind to them. Let's come to the book of Proverbs, and let me just give you some things. In the book of Proverbs, it talks about so much about the tongue. Now we're going to stay in, although you read these passages, if you're jotting down the notes, if you're keeping mental thought about this, you want one of these verses. In Proverbs, let me just give you a few statements about what it says in Proverbs, and then you look up the verses later. In Proverbs 10:19, it says that a person that talks much is in trouble and commits a lot of sin. In other words, don't talk a lot. The person who talks, you ever talk to a person who says talks all the time, but they don't say anything. That person, the we're told on problems, the more we talk, the more likely we are to get into trouble. So we ought to be careful about the tone. Now someone says, well, I wish I'd never said that. It's too late. I'm not suggesting we cut off our tongues. I'm suggesting that we get in obedience to the Word of God and do it as speak only as God would have us to speak. I discovered that many times we speak too much. We're also told in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 13, that a wise person does not tell other people's secrets. So he knows some secrets about others. This is called gossip. Gossip. The lady in the church, the person in the church decided she spent some gossip about the pastor. He ended up a few weeks later resigning. 2 or 3 weeks after he resigned, and his life had been ruined and his family had been ruined, they discovered that it was all a lie. It was gossip. It was gossip. Be careful about the words. A person repeating other people's secrets should not be. He said, well, I just have to say it. No, you don't have to say it. You know, I think sometimes we say it because we want to help God to make things right. When God says, wait a minute, I don't need any help. Just obey me. Do what you're supposed to do. So we be careful about what we say. We're also told in Proverbs that careful answers and responses do not cause trouble. That's what Proverbs 15:1 said. Careful answers and the way we respond to the way a person speaks to us does not cause trouble. We ought to give a kind word, a sweet word, a gentle word, rather than the harsh word that we often say to people. So we're reminded in Proverbs that if we have communication that pleases God, Christ-like communication. I think one of the reasons we are not reaching the world today is because we don't talk like Christians. My Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. In other words, we have been changed. We're supposed to be changed. It appears like we are not being transformed. We're just got our ticket for heaven, and we're not in a hurry to go. And while we're here, we're going to do whatever we want to do. Instead of talking, it's God that has to talk. Communication. In Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 27, we're reminded to choose your words carefully and then only speak a few. Choose your words carefully. How many times have you ever been someplace where you said something and said, oh, I wish I'd never said that. I suppose a lot of young people here have played sports. Have you ever turned around to the official and told him he didn't know what he was doing? Well, just after those words came out of your mouth, you wished, I'd never said that. It's too late. They're already out. So we ought to choose our words carefully. Now, does it mean we never speak? No, it doesn't mean we never speak, but we choose our words carefully. Suppose I told you that the people you love the most, you just talked to them for the last time today. You're never going to speak to them again. Would we be happy with the words that we left for them? Were we happy with the last words? We ought to choose our words carefully. And then speak what God would have us to speak. Be God's representative to a lost and dying world. Not only that, there's often, according to Proverbs, there's great wisdom in just being quiet. There's some people that can't be quiet. They talk about everything. We were sitting in a basketball game one time, and there was a man in the crowd that he kept hollering at the officials, telling them how bad they were. They needed glasses. Back up before that, when I was in high school, I played sports, and when I got out of high school, I didn't have time for that, so I started officiating. I gave that up quickly because I discovered nobody in the crowd likes you. Well, half the people in the crowd like you. This guy in the crowd kept telling the official how bad he was. Finally, the official stopped the basketball game, walked over to the scores table, which happened to be on the opposite side of where we were, where the crowd was sitting, and leaned over and said something to him, and then he turned over, and the official walked from the other side of the court. It seemed like 100 miles over to the other side, and he said, "You out." Because he wasn't, and in fact, the guy went to the door, and that wasn't good enough. He said, "Out of the building. Can't even be in the building." He would have been better off to be quiet. I was going to another basketball game. Now, I discovered that you don't yell at the officials. After I was on the court for a while, as the official, had what was right and sure, that's, I'm not going to yell at the officials. But I heard this guy yelling at the officials in another basketball game. I said to the person next to me, I said, "Who was that guy yelling at the officials?" "Oh, he was one of the leaders of the church." We ought to choose our words carefully. But often, we ought to just, in great wisdom, we ought to just be quiet. So I said, "Well, I want to give them a piece of my mind." "Nah, you probably ought to keep it." "I'm going to give them 2 cents worth." "You may need that 2 cents." So we ought to be careful. I discovered we all have opinions. Everybody has an opinion, and we all think our opinions are right. So we tell everybody else. However, those words, we're better off, maybe better off, if we never said them at all. We're told in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, that words have the power to give life or death. They probably can either fill up a person, or they can destroy them. How many times words have been said, "You'll never amount to anything." And that person has remembered that all of their life. They can still hear a person say, "You'll never amount to anything." How many people need encouragement? That I was thinking this morning about how many people need encouragement. How many people need just a good word? If you had a bushel of apples, you would pick out the best bushel, the best apple in the bunch to eat it. You wouldn't pick out a rotten one and eat that. So a person looks at the bushel of apples, us, and wait to hear a good word from us. They have the power to give life or death with what we say. We're reminded in Proverbs that a gossiper wounds people deeply. Deeply. We don't have to tell stories about other people. We have to be careful about what we know about other people. Other people might know about you too. Might know about us. They might be sharing the stories. It seems like in Christianity we've gotten the idea that it's okay to gossip. Now we gossip, but we couch it in, "Let's pray for so-and-so." Or "Let's do this." Or we go to the fine church and we can share gossip. Unknowingly, we don't call it that. We just do that. But a gossiper wounds the person very deeply. I wonder how many, if you threw a 10-mile radius circle around any church, I wonder how many people in that 10 miles could be drawn back or have been driven away because of somebody gossiping. Somebody sharing the truths of their life, secrets in their life, so we ought to be careful. The Bible tells us in Proverbs that if we guard our lips, we stay out of trouble. Somebody says, "Well, I'm in trouble all the time." Maybe this is the reason why. Maybe you need to not talk to them. Now, in Ephesians, Paul said, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." That doesn't mean we sit around the corner and never say anything. But that means that we communicate the truth of God's word that will encourage and help others. So if we guard our tongue, we stay out of trouble. A few years ago, I read that 50% of people do not get, families do not get together on a holiday. 50% in the United States. Why? It wasn't geographical. That was not the problem. The problem was they couldn't get along. The families couldn't get along. So they came and argued. So finally they decided, "We're not going back anymore." Now, many of those people, I assume, are Christians. So my Lord reminds us that if we just don't speak much, then we stay out of trouble. The Bible reminds us in Proverbs 25:11 that a good word is like talents of gold and pieces of silver. A good word is more valuable to the person than the valuable pictures of art that might be sold for a few million dollars. I think I never learned this lesson as much as I learned it when I was little. When I was younger, we lived across the street from two old men. Now, I use the word old carefully now. But when I was younger, they were old men. And I used to be afraid of them. I was afraid they were going to catch me and eat me. I didn't know. Well, what I discovered later is they couldn't run at all. They couldn't have caught me. If I'd been crawling down the street, they couldn't catch me. Well, I finally hit their name was Claude and Harvey. I can still see him. Claude and Harvey. And Claude used to come out on the porch. Harvey never came out of the house. Harvey had a beard bound down here. And no woman had been in this house forever. I mean, it looked like it. Smelled like it. Well, one day I decided I'm going to stop and just say hi. But I stayed far enough distance. I was on the side of the road up to his house. And so we spoke a little bit. Then I discovered they didn't want that. They wanted somebody to give them a good word. A good word. All they wanted was somebody to say something encouraging. I wish I had known then what I know now about encouraging other people. I've never forgotten Claude Martin. One day, the social services guy showed up at my house. And he said, we want to feed those old men across. That's before they had a feeding program and a way to take care of them. He said, could we hire your son to go feed them? So she agreed to that. So I went across to feed them. Corned beef hash. Government corned beef hash. They had cases of it stacked up in the back. So my mother said, her last instructions were, don't you dare eat one thing in that house. So I went over to that house. And I fixed it when I walked in the house the first time I thought, man, this is something. Cow ribs in the corner, I'm not kidding, were this big. And they had cleaned it. Harley chewed tobacco. And he had a spittoon that he tried to hit. He missed it about 50% of the time. So the house smelled like that. Well, I fixed them their meals and fixed them their black coffee. And a lot, I could write a story about Claude Martin, but the lesson I learned there was they just needed somebody to give a good word. I never saw one person come to visit them. I never saw anybody bring them anything. Now, they're long since gone. But I learned a lesson that's been valuable to help people need encouraging words. A couple other things in Proverbs to remind us about our words. There's not much hope for a person that speaks without thinking carefully. There's not much hope for a person that speaks all the time, just runs on nothing else, and doesn't think. I discovered that many times we don't think. You discover that? We kind of go into emotions. We say that we're new persons in Christ. We say our life has been changed. We say that we're supposed to be light in this dark world. But we don't think. We just say whatever comes to our mind. Proverbs reminds us, be careful what you think about. Not much hope for a person that doesn't think well. Let me ask you a question. As we come back, what did you last say to people that you love? What did you last say to people that you last met? Do you feel good about what you said? Suppose God would come back in person today and walk down the aisle. Would he say your last words have been pleasing, they've been honoring to me? Yes, words do come quickly. Stay for a long time and make an incredible impact upon others. Be careful how you speak. People say, I'm going to get my words back. You can't get them back. You can't take them back. Go back and ask for forgiveness. Jesus said, go. The first thing you should do is go back and ask for forgiveness. So we go back and ask for forgiveness. But I can't get those words. They're stuck in a person's inner person. Words. Communication. I think we think about many things about pleasing the Lord, but just our communication. Please, to the Lord. Let's pray to the Lord. These simple thoughts, but great reminders from your word. It's about being careful how we help. Your how we communicate with others. Be careful that we communicate love and encouragement and lifting. That which would be honoring to you and helpful to others. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let me ask you a question. I suppose most of us in this room know Christ as our personal Savior. So our life has been changed. If not, that would be the first thing that you want to do. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. To be a new person in Christ. For those of us that call ourselves believers, what about yesterday? What about last week? What about this morning? The words that were spoken. Did they honor what? The Bible says we should honor him in all of your words. Whether they're for the evening or whatever you do, all to the glory of God. Our speech. As you quietly examine your life. Maybe you ought to make some new commitments about speaking. Maybe you should go, as God brings his attention, and possibly there's some people, then you go back and ask for forgiveness. Maybe you just ought to say, I just need to be more careful. I need to think more carefully about what I speak. God's spoken to your heart. I'd like to pray with you about that, even though I don't know your situation. But I can pray we do that. I wonder how many be honest. No one's looking around. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come anything. But I'm going to ask you to raise your hand so I can pray with you. I wonder how many be honest and say, already pray with me. My speech needs some work. My words need to be, I need to be more careful about my words. Would you raise your hand? Just thank you. I appreciate you being honest. Now, let me encourage you to just do what God is telling you to do. Just do what God said. Just be simple. You can't undo 5 years, but we can be different today. Lord, I do pray for the folks that have just raised their hands. May they remember as they go about their task and they go out for opportunities and responsibilities of today and tomorrow, as you give us time, that our words will be carefully thought, would bring honor and glory to you, and would be a help to others. And we could say at the end of the day, we're blessed by what we share. Lord, thank you for working in our hearts. Lord, I do pray that there would be one person here who doesn't know you as personal Lord and Savior. Today, they'll open their hearts, Lord, to you. Thank you for this opportunity to share, we ask that you use it in whatever way you see fit in Jesus' name. Amen. Tim's going to come back and share one more song with you, and then Pastor will turn back to you. And once again, great joy to be able to be with you, be able to share with you. And once again, this material on the resource table, you'll find it. You'll pick that up.
Distract me from the things that I must do.
And sometimes
guess we'll just do this here. A couple things. My arm.
Here we go. Okay. A couple of things to think about. Number one, we praise God for Encounter Revival to be here this morning. And we shared last week, and we sent this out a message. If you'd like to give and support their ministry, there is a basket set out at the end of the sanctuary. We encourage you to give towards their ministry there. I was talking with the team this morning, and you know, they do this out of love gifts. They're here to just be a blessing to us. And so if God is so moved, that would be back there for you. A couple thoughts, good challenges this morning. Watching your words also applies to what you text, what you tweet, what you Facebook, what you share, what you like, right? I mean, how much frustration has existed in our world in the last 8 months to a year because we liked something, we shared something, and we think, well, I didn't say it, but I really like how they said it. It still applies. And so very, very humble reminder. Thank you for sharing the word this morning. The second thing is, how are you doing this morning? You're not allowed to lie in the church. So, you know, a couple things that we've been sharing over the last couple of weeks in our prayer requests, right? We want to pray for the Durbar family. They're not fine this morning. So, as you know, Dixie went home to be with the Lord after battling COVID. So we pray for their family. We want to pray for Christy Patrick and her family. Christy's mom passed away yesterday, and she wasn't able to be with her because of the COVID restrictions. We know that this pandemic and everything that goes with it has made us, or help us to understand, well, we're not fine. There's a lot that's going on in our world that we need God to work. We need his encouragement. And I just want to challenge you as the people of Christ to be the hands and feet of Jesus in someone's life. Pick up the phone. Rather than texting or tweeting and sharing all those things that you're frustrated and angry about, pick up the phone and share life into someone. Speak life into their hearts. We're just going to trust that God will do what he does, because when God's people gather and lift up the name of Jesus and share his life and love, it's a salve to the heart. And so we're going to trust that God will do that. So we want to pray, and then as we have been, the ushers will be dismissing you from the back of the sanctuary. We'll be gathering again around 11 o'clock for Sunday school. There will be an adult class in here, taught by Dwayne Hess. The 5th and 6th grade class will be back in the hallway in the youth room. The teenagers will be meeting downstairs in the fellowship hall. So we pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are a gracious and kind Heavenly Father. That you love us and are for us. That you care for us more than we could ask or think. And just again, God, those great reminders from your word to be careful with what we say. Father, that we would take every thought captive to Christ. That we would speak life into those around us. And Father, when we fail, we know we will. Your word is so full of admonitions to be careful, because you know we're prone to fail, that we would seek forgiveness and reconciliation and restoration. That we would be humble and confess our sins to one another. We know that love covers a multitude of sins, so we trust that, God, you will cause a great turnaround in our lives as a result of our trust in you. We thank you for the Encounter Revival Ministry team. We thank you for their willingness to come and pour into our hearts. Strengthen us. And we just pray blessings upon them, especially in the next few days as they, many in the team, will return home for a break. And we just pray for their safe travels and a good time to refresh and just continue to work in their lives. We thank you, Father, that you're still calling and working in your people. Just this reminder of these young people, just entrusting a period, a season of their lives to you. Just work in a wonderful way. Well, thank you for what you'll do, God, because we know that you are greater than anything we see in our eyes. You are stronger. You are more than able. And for all the people that are not fine this morning, Father, we pray that we would find our sufficiency with you. We would find our hope in the cross. That we would feel the love of God through the tangible expressions of the body of Christ. You have left to be a blessing. So send us with power that you might be glorified. We'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for worshiping us with us this morning. Have a great day, and God bless you all.